Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
If you've had unclean thoughts in your mind, you know you need your brains washing, don't you? I do. You know, and it's a lifelong thing. But we are, as Christians, to be living sacrifices. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is in heaven, our conversation is in heaven as well. And Paul, do you want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 for me, please? Thanks, Paul. So, you know, we're to have our minds renewed, we're to be presented to Jesus Christ as living sacrifices, which causes us to have a conversation which is all about the Lord, all about his kingdom, all about heaven, which is to come. It's there already, but he will come from heaven at the shout of the archangel. He will come here with all of his only holy angels, and it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's incredible, although that's not my sermon this morning. So our conversation is to be in heaven, from whence we also look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back soon. Amen. So I read a passage to you, and it was, I never read it before in church. It's Romans 13, and it talks about that every soul must be subject to the higher powers. Well, what does that mean? What it means is, you know, right now, Rishi Sunak is the Prime Minister, and Keir Starmer is the opposition, but we're not MPs, we're not councillors, we're just regular everyday people, which some people might say we're just like Joe Blogs, everyday people. But the scriptures is telling us that we should respect the law of the land. You know, we pay our taxes, don't we? Well, Nika nodded her head, so we're happy she's paying her taxes. And then Leo nodded his head. So two people pay their taxes. Yes, we pay our taxes. And we honour the state, don't we? We bless the state because, you know, they're in power. I'm not in power. I don't know how to run this country. I don't know how things tick in Downing Street and in the Houses of Commons. But this passage is telling us we ought to honour these things. Now, I had a conversation with David Peel, and he's not here, sadly, but it was about, should we pay our taxes? If the government are, say, for example, recently, there is a group of people called the Houthis down in the Middle East, and they've been attacking ships, like British ships, American ships that like to go up the Red Sea, etc. And the British government, the American government, they don't like it. What these people are doing, they're protesting against the war in Gaza with Israel and the Palestinians. So they're, because of this war and because of the support from America, these Houthis are supported by the Iranians. So there's kind of like we're at a terrible stage in the history of this world, actually. We could be on the verge of a third world war. Isn't that right, Sue? Yeah. Yes. So quite vulnerable. What do we do? Do we say, okay, I'm going to rebel. I ain't paying me taxes anymore. I'm just going to put my feet up and be an anarchist, which some of us were when we were younger with our rock music and punk rock and all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, is this the way that we should be behaving? No.
Caesar, what is the Caesar? That's what Jesus said, even he paid taxes well.
Well, there we go. I might as well sit down and let Nika take over. You know, give unto Caesar which belongs to Caesar. You know, Jesus was here, say, what? Whose face is on the £20 note here, you know? Oh, it's the Queen. There we go, there's the Queen. Elizabeth II, give unto Elizabeth, which belongs to her. It's not got the Lord's face on it, has it? So anyway, so all Christians have dual citizenship, you know? You know that, right? And we're going to learn about it today. But what does this mean? We are citizens of heaven traveling through this earth. Yes, you're in agreement with me over that? Or put another way, we are citizens of on earth on our way to heaven. That is what we are doing. Okay? So we have what we call this phrase, dual citizenship. And if this raises questions, and the questions are these. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven, here and now? What's our response? How should we behave? Secondly, what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth, here and now? Okay, Liam. So what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? What do we do if these responsibilities clash? That's what I want to talk about today. It's interesting. So, first question. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? And we read Philippians 3:20. So our conversation should be in heaven. Well, how do we, first of all, how do we become citizens of heaven? Well, we were born citizens of earth, weren't we? All of us. Some of you were born in the Philippines. Some of you were born in Malaysia, Egypt. Oh, I was born in Emelemstead. I'm a local lad. So naturally, I was born here in Hemel, okay? We were born into a heavenly citizen through faith. Okay, that's what the scripture says. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Let's get to Peter after James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has begotten us. Not everybody that is living in this world or living in Hemel Hempstead has been begotten. Only some of us. This is not filled up building, there's only a handful of us here. He has begotten us, meaning that we're his. We belong to him. We're citizens of heaven. How wonderful. I'm very excited about that. We are to represent our king. That's what we're to do. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, you are to represent him while you are on this earth. Well, I'm going to get there as well. okay? So Nika said, we are ambassadors. And she's right. Because through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle, we were talking about Paul the Apostle yesterday, weren't we, Liam? Yeah. Yes. So through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul became a new creation. He was Saul of Tarsus, a Jew who was against Christians, who was punishing Christians. But he had this begotten experience with Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 9. He had this experience and he became, in it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he became a new creation. Now, that didn't mean that he went into his mother's womb, as Nicodemus was asking the Lord Jesus. He became a new man. Heaven put their stamp of approval on him, the living God. And the same with you. If you are truly a Christian or a converted, he says, like Nika, he then became an ambassador for Christ in this world. He became heaven's ambassador to talk to people about his position. So in his role, or in that particular role, he called others, other people to be, and that's what I'm doing, to be reconciled unto God. And that's what we all want. That's why I preach. That's why Nika might have a Bible study. That's why you might have a Bible study. I met up with Liam in the town yesterday. We sat down for 2.5 hours in Cafe Nero. We had a cup of tea. Then we had a bit of cake. We had a cup of coffee. I had another bit of cake. Mate, yeah, it's okay. It was a millionaire shortbread, so I felt like a millionaire for half an hour. We therefore are to live on earth in a manner, listen carefully, we are to live here on earth in such a manner that causes other people to glorify God. Because they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you outlive your life as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Yes? So that's why I'm saying we have a dual citizenship. We're going to go to heaven when we die. Heaven, the Lord says, John 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. So right now, this very minute, he's preparing a place for us to come to him. Come on. See what I'm saying? Our conversation must be in heaven now. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're unclear, say, Lord, please, I pray to you, let me be a living sacrifice for you. Let me be born again, Lord. Let me take this on board. Make me to know what I should be in this world. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before men. Yes, let your light shine. So, in a way, we Christians, we are to live blamelessly. We're not rebels. We're not to put up a fight against the tax man, against the government. We're not vigilantes. We're not starting a riot. You understand me? We're to be honourable citizens of this country. Whether you're from Egypt, whether you're from Malaysia, whether you're from the Philippines. Now, when we look around, you know, the country, we don't see people behaving in a very good manner. We see people coming from different parts of the world and bringing their their false religion, and they want to riot. They want to blow up the buses, blow up the tubes, blow up one another. Yes? I'm talking about Muslims. But not all Muslims. You know, the girls next door, I can live at peace with them, and they can live at peace with me. And the same with the there's a Muslim centre over the road. We like to think that we can live at peace with each other, but some people want to blow me up. That's not the way to behave, is it? You know, there are some good Muslims that I've met. Jay Islam, very nice chap. He got the property cap down Queensway. When I had my accident in 2009, he went to the mosque. He saw all of his fellow Muslims. You know what he said to them? My dear friend John Gilbert has had a terrible accident. I want you all to pray for him. How? And that's what they did. You don't hear of that often. But anyway, it's not in my notes, but I just thought I'd tell you. We can... Afterwards. We can... No, but this is important, Sue. We can learn to live at peace with other people, whatever their background. We might... Exactly, Mayette. We might not agree with them, and I don't agree with their doctrines, but I can live at peace with them. All right? We are to live blamelessly. In order, we must be lights. We are the light of this world. We are the salt and light of this world. And this world is getting darker and darker and darker. But salt preserves. Salt preserves. You only need a little bit of salt on a bit of dodgy meat to preserve that meat, don't you? And it's us, I have to say, it's us people, Christians, that is preserving the world and the way the world is behaving at this current time. It's only us that is probably holding it together through our lifestyle, through our prayers. Yes, that's what I believe. So what this means is this. Citizens of heaven, this is a good point, citizens of heaven should be easily identified. Yes? On this earth, because of how you live. Whether you work in the hospital, whether you work in the school, whether you're a dustman or a handyman, people should be able to say, Nika Ramos? Yeah, I know that woman. She's that woman who's a Christian. Yes? And she can tell you how to get to heaven. That's what Nika's colleagues should say about Nika. And I bet they do. And the same with Leo. And the same with Mayette. You know, people should be able to talk about you in an honourable, respectful way because of your lifestyle and the way that your conversation is in heaven. Yes? Wherever your background is. Secondly, so what are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? Right? Now, I've read from Romans 13, 1 to 8, and it talks about us respecting authorities. Is it wise to drive around Hemel Hempstead at 200 miles an hour down the high street? No. People say, you're mad. You're a mad woman, a mad man. No, you don't do that, do you? You want to keep the points off your license, don't you? You don't want 12 points on your license. I don't want to hear of Jan driving across town to go and get Margie at 70 miles an hour down the Leverstock Green High Road. Crazy. You'll have an accident. Citizens of heaven should be model citizens here on earth. You should be setting the standard. We're to be subjects to leaders of the land. We must recognize that government This is what the passage is talking about. We're to recognize that government is ordained by God. And we must honor those that enforce the law in this country. That's what this passage is talking about. And, you know, it's why you pay your taxes. Now, there was a period of time when I didn't know Jesus Christ. I didn't know God. I didn't understand. I was a rebel without a cause. I was a rebel taking my, smoking my marijuana, doing tattoos, earning a lot of cash as a young man. And I didn't care to pay my taxes. And I was like this for 4-5 years. And I was getting, when you smoke these drugs, you get out of your head. You lose the whole plot. I'm telling you the truth. And when it comes down to paying your way, I told a load of lies. To the accountant, I was earning about £10,000 a year. This was the mid-80s, 1985. I'm telling you the truth. When I did the accounts after 4 years, 5 years, I thought, what am I going to do? I've got no money to pay the taxes. Shall I tell you what I did? I got sat down and I got a book and I wrote down lie after lie after lie after lie. I made it look like I only earned £900 per year. So when I submitted the accounts, I took them to an accountant called Mr. West in Berkhamsted. He didn't know they were all lies. He just thought I was telling the truth. So he processed those accounts. They went to the Inland Revenue, Hemel Hempstead. And they looked at them and they said, okay, he didn't make any profit, any money. So they accepted it. But I was a bit nervous. I was kind of uneasy. And what happened, what this did, every day I used to look at the front door at my dad's house, and every brown letter that came through the door, I was very sheepish, and I'd pick up the letter and I would see if it was from the Inland Revenue to say, Mr. Gilbert, can you please explain how you only lived on £900 per year for 4 or 5 years? Well, how would you explain that? If the Inland Revenue wrote to Leo and said, Mr. Leo, please, you've got 3 children. You've got a wife. You own your own house. How comes you only live on £900 a year? You understand me? You have to tell another lie to explain the first lie that you told. You see? And what happened after I did all of this, I became a Christian. I got born again. I went to a Bible school. And the man at the Bible school, the principal, he said, Mr. David Denninger, okay, if you're coming on my Bible school, I want you to read the Bible twice in 9 months. I mean, that's a big job in itself. So I said, okay then, I read the scriptures twice in 9 months, the whole Bible. When I read Romans 13, I was shaking. I was shaking because God wants us to represent him here on earth. And I thought, I can't believe it. I know I'm dodgy, but how am I going to deal with this? And I was at this Bible school with about 30 other students, and we were near the end of the year, the end of the 9 months. And people were saying, oh, what are you going to do when you've graduated? Oh, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to be a MP or whatever. And people said to me, well, John, what are you going to do? Where are you going to be? And I didn't know what to say. I thought, I'm going to be in prison. I disbelieved. I was going to be in prison because of this is true story. I was struggling because everything I did was dodgy. You know what I'm saying, right? And one day, this is what happened. I was at Dad's house and I said, I've got to go to the tax office and I've got to explain my financial affairs. Because I was unsettled. I was nervous. I was frustrated. And now the journey from Dad's house, you've been to Dad's house, Nika and Joey, it takes half an hour to walk to the town. If you just walk on a straight walk like that, half an hour, 30 minutes. On this day, back in 1990, it took me 2.5 hours to walk a half an hour journey because I would take 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. I was like this. This is the honest truth. And I thought, they're going to put me in prison. I've got no future. But if I'm going to die today and meet Jesus Christ, I might as well die telling the truth. You see what I mean? What is important? Do I want to be a citizen of heaven? Yes. Whatever the cost. Whatever it costs me, I'm going to be a citizen of heaven. I went to the tax office. And I've told this story before, but maybe I didn't put much importance on it. But this man, young man he was, I was young at the time. He said, what can I do for you? I said, I come here to tell you about my tax affairs. They're not true. He said, what? I said, I come here to tell you about my tax affairs. They're not true. Look, I can't hear you, mate. What? I said, I've come here to tell you that 4 years of accounts are not true. I've told lies and I need to sort it out now. And he just said, wait there. And he got this man who was chief inspector, Mr. Jakeman, and he took me in this room. He said, now, sit down, mate. What can we do for you? Just tell us all from the beginning. And I told him everything. And the minute I started telling him that I told lie after lie after lie, the more I spoke, the better I felt. Is it extraordinary? I was confessing my sins to a stranger. But at the time, I read an NIV version of the Bible. And the Bible said that this man, it says that he is God's minister. And he is there to do me good. Okay? At first, it says, be afraid. You know, if you're doing wrong, you'll be punished for it. But I looked at him and I took him as God's minister. I told him everything. And the more I told, it was like a burden lifted off my shoulders. I felt so good. And even though I was in deep trouble, he said, listen, Mr. Gilbert, I want you to come back here with true accounts. 2 weeks' time, we had a big meeting. I took the real accounts where I was earning 10 grand a year. Yeah, and I told him everything. But what I'm going to say, when I walked out of that building, when I walked out of the Alexandra House in Waterhouse Street, I felt so good. I felt like I was 10 foot tall because I told the truth. And that man commended me. That's what it said. It says it in the NIV version. He will commend you. And he commended me for what I did. I felt fantastic. Now listen to this. It took me 1.5 years to pay back the taxes that I fiddled. All right? 1.5 years. Now, you might say, John, you're mad. Why did you do that? Well, I did it for my own sanity, my own mental health, as people bang on nowadays, you know. But I did this to honor the Lord. to show the Lord I didn't want to be a Del Boy or an Arthur Daly. I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to walk as a Christian. I wanted to talk as a Christian. I wanted to behave as a Christian. And I wanted to respect the authorities. And that was my repentance, coming to know Jesus Christ. Anyway, as I said, it took me a year and a half. And that year and a half, now I never had a proper job. I set up a business to be a painter and decorator, a small-time builder. I still am today, and that's what I did. And that year and a half of making sure I had the money to pay back that tax, 50 quid a week, right, it made me start my business, and it disciplined me to have my own company, my own business. So here we are. Wonderful. Praise God. All right. So let me say this. We are to respect the authorities, respect leaders. And that is, as I said earlier on, it is our reasonable service. We are living sacrifices. Remember where we read that from? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now listen here. We might hear this occasionally in our prayer meeting. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says this. He says, this is Paul the Apostle talking to Timothy. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour. So we're to live godly lives, honest lives. Live like we're the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Remember, it says supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for leaders, leaders and kings. That's what we ought to be doing. This is your reasonable service, living sacrifices. And I have to say, it's our prayers for authorities that contribute to us living a peaceful life. You want a peaceful life? Then pray. Pray for those in authorities. Come to our...
1 Timothy 2, Brother Jen, that we ought to pray for our authorities.
That's it.
Whether we voted for them or not.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it. Now, there'll be a general election this year. I don't know who you're going to vote for, but you could vote for the Green Party and they might not come in. You might vote for the Liberal Democrats. They might not get voted in, but whoever gets voted in, get on with it. Yes? There we go. Lastly, what do we do when these responsibilities that we have clash? What do we do? Well, here's a passage. Acts chapter 4. Something happened in Acts 4, verse 19, 20. Acts 4, 19. And it says here, Peter is with John. They've done a miracle. The Lord has used them to conduct a miracle, and they're dragged before the authorities. And Peter says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they want to honor the Lord. So what happens in this passage, right? What happens? So it does happen even today. Earthly authorities sometimes oppose the work of God. You know, for example, Nika's a nurse. And I've heard stories over the last 5 years where a nurse has worn a cross to work and they've been reprimanded. You understand me? And they've been told, what, you're offending me by wearing that cross. Take it off. So sometimes the local government, whatever institution you're working in, they can oppose what you believe. And you have to be wise. Remember, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And you have to be wise in prayer to discern how you're going to respond. And in a way, it happened in Acts. Acts 3, 1 to 8. Peter and John are going to the temple. All right, now I won't read it out because of time, but they're going to the temple. There's a guy who's a cripple at the gate, beautiful. He's over 40 years old. He's never walked before in his life. And he's looking up to Peter and John, hoping for them to give him something. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I've got in my heart, I'll gladly share with you. Bit of a paraphrase. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And what happens? The bloke is leaping and dancing and shouting because God's healed him. And we love it. We get excited about all that exciting stuff. He was healed. Now, you know, when that sort of thing happens, everyone's going to be looking at you. If it was me that did the healing through Jesus Christ, everybody going to be looking at Johnny G saying, the power of God's on him. You know, God used the man. It hasn't happened to me, all right? However, it happened to them. This poor, lame man is suddenly jumping up and down. He's over 40. He's praising God. If that was anybody, they would do the same thing, whether they were blind, whether they were demon-possessed or whatever. Well, the thing that happens at this point in time is that when this happens, opportunity will arise that you can preach the gospel. And you can say, listen, it's not me. It's not by my power. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of him that this man is now standing here, praising God, leaping and dancing. So it brings opportunity for us to share about the Lord. So when this happens, let me say this, because the Lord might use you. The Lord might use every one of us to do this if he so wants to. People that are not saved and could be religious, they will be jealous. And that happened in this circumstance. They got the authorities, the religious authorities got angry with Peter and John. They got jealous and they demanded that they stop preaching in this name. And that's what happens in this passage in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. So the thing is, we have been given a commission. Jesus commissioned these disciples to go and tell people, to be his witnesses, and to tell people about the love of God. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were just obeying the orders that Jesus gave them. They explained that they were responsible to tell people what they knew, what they saw. They were eyewitnesses and they were just obeying the Lord. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? When our responsibility to Jesus Christ clashes with the things of this world, you know, the minister at Alexander Road, Chris Bennett, do you know what he said to me when I met him recently? He said, I'm a little concerned about the Labour government getting into power. Do you know why, John? I said, no. Why? He said that he feels that they will take away our freedom of speech. Now, what if that happened? What if that happened? I remember we went to Speaker's Corner 1 September, 10 years ago, and Nika got up and she preached. Do you remember? I got up in the town last year, Mayette, remember? She videoed me. Freedom of speech. What happens if our government take that away from us? That we're not allowed to preach about Jesus Christ, and that they say, well, it's an offence to the Muslims. It's an offence to the Hare Krishnas. You understand me? That could happen. So what if it happens? Will we respect that law or not? People, we will be put on the spot, people. And I will say, if we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ, my loyalty will be to the Lord, not to the Labour government, not to Keir Starmer. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So this has happened before. Dear Mr. Bunyan, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, and Mayette has just read a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, if we cast our time back 350 years ago, roughly, he was a preacher. He was a Baptist preacher from Bedford, and he preached in the name of Jesus. And because he preached in the name of Jesus, he was put in prison in Bedford jail. How long? They put him in there initially for 6 months. And after 6 months, they knocked on the door. In fact, he couldn't open the door because it was a prison. So they unlocked the door. They said, Mr. Bunyan, you are free to go from the jail if you tell us that you will stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Well, what's he going to say to that? He's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I'm a preacher. I preach in Jesus' name. They say, John, we're going to leave you in prison. This happens to it.
Okay, you can preach in the prison.
They locked the door. And he was in the prison for another 11 and a half years, 12 years in all. That could happen to us. Whether we're in Grove Hill Community Centre, whether we're in Wormwood Scrubs or Pentonville Prison, does it matter? Sue Eyre just said to me, well, you can preach in prison. Isn't that right? So if we all end up in prison, we can have fellowship together on the Sunday morning. Is that not right, Nika?
Yes, because even in prison here, they do conduct
there we go. So we can be ambassadors for Christ wherever we are. And whoever gets in power, remember, we must always remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were carted off to Babylon. Babylon was not Jerusalem. It was a pagan nation. It was run by pagan kings. In fact, Cyrus and Darius, who worked for they were governing the Persians and the Medes. But sooner or later, they passed away. They knew Daniel. And then other kings came in, Belshazzar, remember? Nebuchadnezzar. And they were living godly lives. They weren't Christians, they were Jews, but they were living godly lives in Babylon. And the whole story emulates the end times for us Christians. Okay? So here we go. I'll conclude. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. They are as follows. How are you representing Jesus as a citizen of heaven? Only you can answer that question. How are you representing Jesus as a citizen of heaven here and now? And I'll let the Holy Spirit work on you and convict you or pat you on the back and say, yes, you're doing okay. Thank you. Yes. Keep them dear to your heart, dear Dave. Are you recognized as a good citizen of earth right now? What do people think about you? What do they say about you? As a believer, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, in whatever you're doing, are you recognized as a good citizen of earth? Excuse me. How do people talk about you? Are you committed to obeying God, whatever the cost? Could that be said of you? Let's pray. Lord, help us to once again to learn and remember that we are to be living sacrifices. Help us to remember, Lord, that we have to understand that we need our mind renewed, because we are citizens of this earth, but we want to be ambassadors for you. We want our conversation to be in heaven. We want to live here and now as if we're living in heaven. And I pray that for all of us here, my brothers and my sisters. I pray that we would learn and understand that we're to be different in the surroundings where you have placed us. I pray that for all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing our last hymn, All to Jesus. That's a good song. Liam, All to Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. It's actually in the book if you want to look at the book.
Yep.
You got it.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.